Welcome to Season 5 of the Fashion Law Network podcast. I'm your host, Kasia Zabrowska-Traubin, patent attorney and fashion enthusiast based in Los Angeles, California. Join me as I break down legal cases, discuss recent fashion news, and demystify patent law. Hello, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 5 of the Fashion Law Network podcast series. Welcome back to the first episode of 2023. So happy to have everyone back. So I have some really exciting news for all my listeners. I'm happy to announce that the Fashion Law Network podcast will be hosting its first ever in-person event. So mark your calendars, because on Thursday, March 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m., the law firm where I work, Caldwell, will be hosting an amazing meet and greet event at our beautiful new office space at 100 Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica, which is, by the way, the most iconic building in all of Los Angeles, right next to the ocean with the most amazing ocean views from our 18th floor office space. So during the event, we'll have snacks and drinks, and it'll just be a really great way to connect with everyone. And I'm going to leave all the event details and the registration links in the episode notes section for this episode. And I really can't wait to meet everyone. And I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday and New Year break. Personally, for the first time in quite a while, I didn't travel for the holidays, and it was actually really nice to just relax, stay home. Although the weather in Los Angeles was pretty unusual with over a week of straight rain, but it did make me appreciate the sunshine once it did finally return. I missed doing the podcast series over the past few weeks, so I'm super excited for this episode. I thought it'd be great to give everyone an update on all the latest sales, mergers, acquisitions among various luxury companies, and there have been so many recently. I'll begin the episode with a discussion of the main company this episode will be centered around, Farfetch. They've been in the news with their various expansion acquisitions. I'll provide a brief background of the unique Farfetch business model. Then I'll provide a brief synopsis of other notable mergers in fashion news lately, like the major Estee Lauder acquisition of Tom Ford for a record $2.8 billion. And then I'll finish the episode with my legal analysis of a recent lawsuit involving Farfetch and the shoe company which makes Doc Martens boots. So here we go. Let's begin with some background information on Farfetch. Before we get into all of the details of the much anticipated Farfetch and Yoox Net-a-Porter deal that's been dominating fashion news headlines for the past few months. And just as a side note, I did a whole episode about the unique business model of the Farfetch company in a previous episode titled Who's the Fairest of Them All? So if you really want to do a deep dive into Farfetch, just go back to that episode. Okay, so just by way of a brief background synopsis for this episode, here we go. Farfetch is a UK-based luxury online platform, and it's relatively new. It was launched in 2008. And as described on their own website, Farfetch.com, they state that Farfetch began as an e-commerce marketplace for luxury boutiques around the world. Today, the Farfetch marketplace connects customers in over 190 countries with items from more than 50 countries and nearly 1,300 of the world's best brands. So Farfetch was probably one of the first e-commerce luxury platforms that offered items from third-party sellers, although these are independent brands and boutiques, which of course is different than the typical third-party marketplace platform like an Amazon or Walmart, which of course caters to more individual and also very small sellers, among the big box ones also, of course. So the genius founder of Farfetch is José Neves. Mr. Neves is currently only 46 years old and he's a billionaire. He's listed on the world's richest people list. So he must have been only about 33 when he initially founded Farfetch. It was founded in 2007, launched in 2008. Now let's just go over a little bit of Mr. Neves' biography. He grew up in the city of Porto in Portugal.
And Porto is actually the second largest city in Portugal and seems like a really picturesque coastal town in the northwest of Portugal. And it's known for its port wine industry. Mr. Neves' grandfather owned a shoe factory in the city of Porto. And according to CompassList.com, while José was getting his degree in economics from the University of Porto in the mid-90s, he started a software company called Grey Matter. And it's also been reported that he was actually a software engineer also. Furthermore, he then started another software company called Platform, which had an operating system for his fashion clients. Mr. Neves then moved to the UK, where he started a shoe company with a retail store in London. And then he opened a men's retail store in London in 2001. So obviously he had plenty of fashion and retail experience before launching the Farfetch company. So once Farfetch was launched, the next kind of big event here was in 2015. Farfetch bought the UK-based retailer Browns, which is an iconic fashion and luxury goods boutique. Now, interestingly, as described on the Farfetch website, in April of 2017, they unveiled what they call an augmented retail vision, and they launched the Farfetch Store of the Future, which is described as being a technology-powered retail operating system, and this suite of technologies aims to improve retail productivity by capturing consumer data and then enhancing the interactions between consumers and sales associates, both in-store, when the consumer would interact with the retailer, or the brand online. And then the website states that this allows for a really uniquely tailored offering to each brand or retailer in keeping their in-store and online strategy. A few months after that, it was reported that Farfetch announced an exclusive multi-year global innovation partnership with Chanel, through which they worked together to develop a range of digital initiatives. In some other notable Farfetch news, in June of 2017, Chinese e-commerce company called JD.com Inc. bought a minority stake in Farfetch for $397 million. And then the really big news came in 2018 in the fall when Farfetch went public on the New York Stock Exchange. Now keep this in mind because it will be important later when I discuss the recent lawsuit that Farfetch is involved in. And then in some very recent Farfetch news, this has been all over Women's Wear Daily, Market Watch, almost every major business news media outlet. So this particular figure of numbers here was reported by MarketWatch.com just a few days ago. So today is November 14th, 2020. And they stated that shares of luxury e-commerce retailer Farfetch soared 12.4% in the Friday trading and were up another 3.3% on Monday after it was announced. Now, this is a huge announcement here of their partnership with Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba Holding Group and Richemont, which includes an expansion in the Chinese market and a $600 million investment. Richemont owns some labels like Cartier, watchmaker Piaget, and fashion brand Chloe. Alibaba and Richemont will also each invest $250 million in a new joint venture, Farfetch China. Now, this is obviously going to majorly increase Farfetch's reach outside of the US, Europe. Obviously, they see the Chinese market as being the future here.
So now in recent Farfetch news, it was announced in August of 2022, as reported by Vogue Business, that the long-awaited deal between Swiss luxury conglomerate Richemont, who by the way owns Cartier and other companies, and luxury marketplace Farfetch, for announcing the sale of the quote loss-making Yoox Net-a-Porter company. Now, for my fashionistas, I'm assuming they probably have at least heard of the Yoox Net-a-Porter company. But just for everybody, it is a Italian online fashion retailer. It was created in October 2015. And I hope this doesn't get too confusing, but there was a merger between Yoox and Net-a-Porter. So they came together and made what is abbreviated the YNAP group, Yoox Net-a-Porter group. Yoox was founded in Milan in 2000. It was kind of like a fashion, luxury fashion outlet, only online. And then Net-a-Porter was founded in London in 2000. I would say that Net-a-Porter, for those who don't know, it's kind of like an online version of Neiman Marcus or Saks Fifth Avenue. But in my opinion, they seem to have lower prices than those two American companies. For example, I bought a pair of Paris, Texas boots from Net-a-Porter pretty recently, and they were $850. But on NeimanMarcus.com and Saks, they were, I think, $950 or $970. So from Net-a-Porter, they came via the DHL shipping service from England, from the Net-a-Porter headquarters, and they arrived to my house here in Los Angeles within 3 days. I was very happy with the entire experience, so I highly recommend the company if you guys are in search of a particular item. They also have a really good selection of sizes that a lot of the American online retailers don't, at least for the brands that I like to look up. Now, Richemont, Farfetch, and Symphony Global, which is one of the investment vehicles of a Emirati businessman named Mohammed Al Abar. He's the man behind the Dubai Mall. And it was announced in August that the acquisition by Farfetch and Al Abar of a 47.5%, that was Farfetch's, and then Al Abar took a 3.2% stake in the YNAP. And according to Vogue Business again, the deal lays a path towards Farfetch potentially acquiring the remaining shares in YNAP through a put and call option mechanism. The move consolidates Farfetch's market dominance by taking potential control of one of its largest rivals. And then as soon as that news went out, Farfetch shares soared ahead by 24%. So at that point, the market value of the company was $3.7 billion. So obviously huge player in the fashion world. Now, what I think is interesting is that it's been reported that one YNAP was a company that was producing losses over the last few years. So I'm wondering what Farfetch's plan is with them. Are they going to completely reinvent YNAP with their Farfetch model? Because that's quite a risk to take on a 47.5 stake in a company which hasn't really made a major profit in the last few years. So that'll be interesting to see what happens here. As of now, the Farfetch stock is still climbing and doesn't show any signs of slowing down. Then Richemont shares also climbed after the deal because it's claimed that they were able to offload the loss-making YNAP. Now, as part of this major acquisition deal, YNAP will adopt Farfetch Platform Solutions, the luxury market's white label tech offering, to help it shift towards a hybrid wholesale, e-concessions, and marketplace business model. Vogue Business also reports that almost all of the Richemont houses, including Cartier, watch brand IWC, and Chloe and Alaïa, will also join the Farfetch marketplace. So that's really interesting, because before, Farfetch didn't have a ton of those designers. Now, at this point in time, I think time's only going to tell if this will give the Farfetch platform a major boost. It seems like it did, according to their stock prices recently. It's just not that easy to make money in online luxury, especially after the pandemic, because it seems like a lot of people are enjoying returning to the stores, and the brick and mortar stores are reporting an increase in sales. Now let's discuss the other huge, huge acquisition, where Estée Lauder Group acquired Tom Ford. This was one of the biggest fashion consolidations. This happened in November 2022 when it was announced that the Estée Lauder company bought the Tom Ford brand, which is an American brand. I also have a whole episode on Tom Ford titled The Evolution of Tom Ford, if anybody wants to do a deep dive on that. And they purchased the Tom Ford brand for $2.8 billion. The deal consists of them acquiring everything that Tom Ford owns, which is a very, very profitable beauty, skincare, fashion, and fragrance branch of the Tom Ford whole conglomerate of companies. And Estée Lauder's acquisition of the Tom Ford brand comes amid lots of changes in how companies have been licensing a lot of their brands. Another notable change or fashion news business item was when the Lanvin Group announced in March of 2023 that they would go public with a New York Stock Exchange listing. They merged with SPAC Primavera Capital Acquisition Group. And then another big item was when conglomerate Naver Corp, which is a Korean company, they announced in October 2023 that they are acquiring Poshmark for $1.2 billion. Now, Poshmark, I'm sure you guys have heard of it. It's kind of like eBay, but it only focuses on fashion items like clothing, shoes, bags, items like that. And then right before that, the company Vestiaire Collective, which is like the French version of Poshmark, I guess, they announced to purchase Tradesy, which is another company similar to Poshmark. So now, and I actually used to go on Tradesy sometimes, and the other day I went on Tradesy and then it just says it's now Vestiaire. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That wasn't really in the news that much, so I was kind of surprised about that merger. Okay, now let's discuss the lawsuit that Yuxe and Net-a-Porter Group were involved with. It's a trademark infringement lawsuit regarding the famous Doc Marten boots. So the British company that makes Doc Martens is called Airwear International. That's a tongue twister. And in the fall of 2018, they filed a lawsuit accusing online retailer Yuxe Net-a-Porter of copying the look of their ankle lace-up boots made famous by the Doc Martens company. So Airwear International sued Yuxe Net-a-Porter in federal court in San Francisco, California, alleging trademark infringement, trademark dilution, and unfair competition, and they requested a preliminary injunction. So in pulling up the complaint here, filed by the Doc Marten company, Airwear, it's dated December 2nd, 2018, and I see it's only 14 pages, which is relatively short for these types of complaints, so that's interesting. So in reading it here, under the factual allegations section, Airwear provides a nice table, like a background table, of the various trade dress registrations they possess. Airwear holds many registrations for trade dress throughout the world, including the following ones in the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And in looking at them, they all seem related to that ankle Doc Marten boot, and they also have one for that unique pattern of the undersole of the boot. In the complaint, they allege, and I'm quoting straight from the complaint here, Dr. Martin's trade dress is unique and distinctive when applied to the Dr. Martin's footwear and related merchandise and identifies the merchandise as high-quality goods from Airwear. The registration of these marks constitute prima facie evidence of their validity, conclusive evidence of Airwear's exclusive rights to use the trade dress in connection with the goods identified. Airwear is informed and believes that Yuxe has marketed, distributed, and sold footwear that is confusingly similar, that's kind of the buzzword in all these complaints that deal with trademark infringement,
now going back to the complaint, and unlawfully copies the Doc Martens trade dress and various distinctive features of Doc Martens footwear in violation of Airwear's rights, the infringing footwear. Then they talk about how the infringing footwear was allegedly marketed and sold by Yuke's, including the Stella Bird brand groups, and then they attach various exhibits, 6, 8, 10. Then on the next page, they provide pictures of those exhibit items alongside of the Doc Marten boots that Airwear owns and then the alleged infringers. And they also note that, quote, the infringing footwear unlawfully copies and uses the Doc Martens trade dress and distinctive features of the footwear, including the yellow welt stitch, two-tone grooved sole edge, DMS undersole, and heel loop. So in looking at the images provided, in my opinion, it does look like these allegedly infringing boots are quite similar to the Doc Marten originals. They do have the yellow stitching, that loop in the back of the boot, and they also have the same boot, not in that over the ankle version, but also the low ones, which kind of hit right below the ankle. Finally, the Doc Marten company alleges that Yuke's conduct in selling the footwear that copies the Doc Martens trade dress has been systematic and deliberate, and that Yuke's has sold the footwear that copies the Doc Martens trade dress and the overall style and configuration in a allegedly deliberate and calculated attempt to trade upon the popularity and distinctive. That's kind of all somewhat standard language in these trademark infringement lawsuits. So then, in taking a look at the further docket history in this case, there is a lot of back and forth between the attorneys of record of these two companies, with various case management conferences being set, responses, and then finally we get to the end of the docket history, and we see in the typical anticlimactic manner in May of 2019 that there's an order dismissing the case entered that states the parties to the action by their counsel have advised the court that they have agreed to a settlement and the matter is dismissed with prejudice. Now that means that the plaintiff cannot refile the same claim again in court. So a settlement agreement is typically confidential, so we'll never know exactly what the terms of the agreement were, so we can only speculate on that. And on that note, let's conclude episode 5 of the Fashion Law Network podcast series. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, and please don't forget to sign up for the meet and greet event coming up on March 23rd. Have a great day. Bye.